Welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, August 12th, 2018. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio today with Jordan Bright and Julie Love. In a recent speech, United States Attorney General Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions made the following statement, quote, "A dangerous movement, undetected by many, is now challenging and eroding our great tradition of religious freedom. This idea is the impetus behind the newly proposed Religious Liberty Task Force. Because of the nature of this conversation, I want to start the show by reminding listeners that all views and opinions expressed here on Atheist Talk are the views and opinions of the guests and hosts, and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Minnesota Atheists. If you are a member of Minnesota Atheists, or anyone else for that matter, and find yourself disagreeing with anything we are saying today, we encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, tweet us at Atheist Talk, or send us a message over at facebook.com/atheisttalk. Jordan, Julie, thank you both for joining me in studio today as we do our best to oppress the Christian minority with our godlessness. So I want to start. I want to read that quote again. A dangerous movement undetected by many is now challenging and eroding our great tradition of religious freedom. As a queer atheist woman, I first took that as a direct comment relating to people advocating equality for those who identify, like I do, somewhere in the LGBTQIA spectrum. But do you two think Sessions and this administration had a broader scope than that? Do you think he was just talking about the push for equality?
He's not going to admit it, but it's like I think that he wants to kind of push the boundaries of what people of faith are allowed to do, both in public and legally too. So as far as just like, practicing your faith in public, that you can already do that.
Yeah.
So he's trying to push it a little further. It's just the first part of it.
Definitely. Because we already have the right to do whatever we want, there has to be an ulterior motive in this, especially coming from that right wing branch of our government.
Well, and Julie, you are... I'm sure we'll talk about this at some point in another episode or whatever, but like you are a Christian, but who has a rather unique kind of view of Christianity that I don't think is shared by Mr. Sessions.
It's not.
do you feel like your freedom of religion or is being imposed upon?
That's a good question that I wasn't exactly prepared for.
All right. Think about it.
I will think about that.
Because I'm thinking, I mean, Jordan, you're an atheist.
Yes.
I'm an atheist, but I'm also religious.
Okay.
I am a member of the Satanic Temple.
Mm-hmm.
So I have religious freedoms.
You do.
And to be honest, there are times when I do feel like my religious freedoms are imposed upon by people like Jeff Sessions. Like, if I wanted to put up some kind of satanic monument in like a Belle Plaine Veterans Center that already had a Christian one.
Well, that was oddly specific, but I still were getting that there. So you're not implying anything, are you?
Outside of that, limited, I don't feel like as an atheist any freedoms of religious belief, or not that atheism is a religion, don't want to go down that road.
Yeah, we're not going to, slippery slope.
Yeah, but like, I don't feel like my religious liberties are being infringed upon,
right,
like on a day-to-day basis when I go to order a cake.
Right. I actually had a thought after you asked me the first question, but I think he was more pushing for, he wants it to be, more acceptable in government jobs and in school. I think specifically schools also, because that seems to be getting a bigger push these days. They're asking, it's like whether or not you can pray in schools. You can, but you cannot be, the school can't require it.
Right.
So I think that's kind of what they're going for also.
I guess in thinking about your question, I do feel like maybe I might actually fall into this category of I might be one that he's targeting because I'm not the fundamental Christian. I'm the Christian who happens to believe that it's just all about getting along and loving each other. That's the basis of my religion, and love doesn't discriminate, and love doesn't hate. Love wouldn't propose.
You're not going to read all of
this kind of 13, no.
Are you?
I'm not. Do you remember it all? I don't.
I don't have to.
You know, it just doesn't jive with what the Sessions is trying to do here, and that's to turn us into a fundamental nation of haters.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like in his mind, you are allowed to practice whatever you can as long as you're a straight white Christian male.
Yeah. And even then, I feel like almost like it's okay if you're not, but understand that like we have the right to discriminate against you for not. Because it's because it's our religious belief that you're less, or you're not worthy.
It's our belief that you are not equal to us.
Right.
So, and therefore it's like, well, we're going to put some boundaries on you now. So stuff that you can't do.
Yeah, I think back, it's probably been like 10 years now, maybe longer, maybe a titch less, where Muslim cab drivers were refusing to carry passengers that had alcohol from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big upcry about how, you know, you can't do that. That's a violation of our rights. You know, don't impose your religious law on us.
Well, this actually just happened in Dubai.
I thought I heard a story about that.
Yeah, I just read it yesterday. There's a woman that she was given a complimentary alcoholic beverage on the plane, and she arrived in Dubai, and they found out she had alcohol, and I don't know what happened. She got detained, and she was held in a holding room for quite a while, actually, because she came into the country with some sort of blood alcohol level.
Yeah, and I think she was British. Yeah.
She was Swedish, living in England.
Okay.
That's what it was. She had her 4-year-old daughter with her, too.
Yeah, I saw a blurb about how she was happy to be free, but that it had cost her like tens of thousands of... I thought I said dollars, but it might have been pounds. I'm not sure.
It was in euros, I think. It was 30,000 euros in legal fees and whatnot.
And I think the euro is kind of equivalent to the dollar right now, if not better.
I'm not
sure. It's a lot of money. It's not 30,000 of like some rupees.
Yeah.
So is that where we're headed with this Christian religious fundamentalist? Let's take a look at Christianity through the ages. Are we not going to be allowed to drink and dance anymore?
Oh, gosh. I guess when I see this things like this Religious Liberty Task Force and the kind of religious push that Sessions is in his ilk are going for, I don't see a difference between this and a theocracy of any other kind. Like, I think it would be a false equivalency to say that what Sessions is promoting is the same as like Sharia law or like in a Saudi Arabian or Dubai theocracy. Cause I don't think it's quite there, but it's,
no, it's not, but it'd be like it's basically our version of Sharia law.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's not quite there, but they're going to start pushing for that.
Yeah. And I don't view that as a slippery slope argument because it is a logical consist because it's a sharp departure from at least how I interpret the Bill of Rights and the extent of freedom of religion and separation of church and government. Like, this is a sharp change from what I grew up learning about. And I loved the Constitution as a kid. Anyway, fifth grade me would just be astounded.
You can still love the Constitution. It's just one's interpretation of it that I think is lacking.
It's almost like the Constitution and religious documents have some things in common there.
Oh, wow. You wonder why? Thomas Jefferson would be shocked.
Yes, definitely. So in thinking about this, like, do we see, like, hope? Like, is this something where do you think that there is, like, enough people getting upset about this that we can maybe stop it from happening or prevent it from happening? Or I guess, where do you see us in 2 years?
I think there's a lot of people that want it. I'm sure there's a lot of people that want it to stop, but there's wanting it to stop than actually having to do something to stop it. So I think that's my that might be where people kind of, I don't know, it sounds like a good idea, but now it's like, oh, we actually have to do something about it now. And then all of a sudden it'll happen and it's like, oh, crap, now what?
When you say it sounds like a good idea, do you mean like, you're referring to stopping it?
Yes.
Sorry.
I didn't want to be speaking. Yeah. This whole religious freedom thing, that sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, it does. It does sound great. Everybody should have religious freedom.
Yes.
I think I agree. I think a lot of people are going to be afraid that if they do speak out, then they're going to be categorized as too liberal, which seems to be a bad thing as well. Like, it's okay to say that I'm all for that, but if my soccer mom friends find out that I've actually done something about it, I'm going to be disowned in my clique.
Yeah, exactly. You can't really go this far, but, you know, people that you work with, too, you know, it's like, oh, you were at that, maybe there's a rally held. It's like, you were at that rally. It's like, what were you doing there? It's like, oh, okay, now, ugh.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Thankfully, most of the people I work with are in a, I don't know, not liberal setting, but not, they wouldn't care. Like, I could show up and be super conservative or show up and be super liberal, and they wouldn't care at all. All right, well, we are going to take a commercial break, so please stay with us through the break, and we'll return to discuss how atheists are oppressing Christians. You're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Lori Swanson. Minnesota's a special place. As your Attorney General, I've stood up to powerful interests to keep it that way.
Lori Swanson.
From taking on drug companies that inflated prices and forcing a corporate polluter to clean up our drinking water, to taking on Donald Trump as he attacks what we value most as Minnesotans. Now I'm running for governor because there's too much at stake to let Donald Trump and the special interests push policies that hurt our state.
Swanson for governor.
As governor, I'll continue to defend health care for everyone, and I'll lower the cost of health care and prescription drugs. I'll work to keep our kids safe in school and defend our schools against drastic cuts that jeopardize our kids' futures and our state's economy. I've been proud to be your Attorney General, and as your governor, I'll keep standing up for what's right and get things done for Minnesota.
Lori Swanson for governor.
Prepared and paid for by Swanson for governor.
Hi, this is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are now in our third year of broadcasting on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. MinPost has called us one of the 22 most independently entertaining and cool radio shows in the Twin Cities. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states every Saturday at 6 p.m., replayed Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Wow. Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio with Jordan Bright and Julie Love. Before we get back to the show, I want to remind everyone listening live that immediately following this program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production from American Atheists. If you miss an episode live, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. If you're interested in getting involved with the conversation we're having today, the phone number is 952-946-6205. If you're a Christian and want to tell us how wrong we are, we would actually, honestly, love to take your call. If you'd rather, you can email us at radio@mnatheist.org, tweet us at Atheist Talk, or leave a comment on the Facebook post for this episode over at facebook.com/atheisttalk. You know, we were talking in the break about almost how, like, hey, I thought we would fill an entire episode with this. And it's like, wow, did we already solve this problem? And it's like, oh my gosh, that is scary how simple this actually is.
Yeah.
At the same time, Julie, you had brought up something about employers. I mean, it got me thinking, like, you know, we both work for the same unnamed Catholic hospital that will remain unnamed, but it's part of a large health network. And yet, I've never been Catholic.
Neither have I.
And we're.
I have.
You have. Oh.
I was raised Catholic, so.
I'm sorry.
Do you feel guilty about that?
honestly, when I was being brought up, I went to religious ed classes every Wednesday, just because I had to. I mostly didn't really pay attention. It was boring for me, honestly. You know, we sit in church for an hour every weekend. It's like, this is dumb. I just don't like this. I'm not getting anything out of it.
That's so sad. Because when we were going to church together, I always felt like I was getting something out. Well, okay, that's a stretch. I frequently felt like I was getting something out of it.
And now that I think of it, we actually had I went to a public school, and they actually had, it was Wednesday nights. They had Wednesday nights set aside, no sports practices or anything, because the Catholic school, two blocks away, they had that was the night for religious education classes. And looking back, I was like, I don't think they should have done that, but
yeah.
All right. So and it was just the one night a week that I dreaded. It's like, oh, crap. And the teacher we had, she was not nice at all. So, I mean, she was like, if you don't do all this, you're going to be in a world of hurt when you get older. It's like, ew, okay.
Like if you don't do all this Catholic stuff?
Yeah. We were forced to go to, we weren't forced to, but it was just kind of like we're kind of pushed to go to these retreats. It was once a year. It was a big event, too. There were probably a couple thousand high school age kids there. It was a nice area. They provided donuts and free lunch, but that was about the only good thing that came out of it. I mean, our teacher came with us, and she told us, she's like, every single one of you is going into that confession tent. So there were a couple of us, the bathrooms were not far away, and it was a crowded area, so we tried sneaking around there. So I looked back to see if she could see me, and I saw her pointing over to towards the confession tent. I was like, all right, I'll go in there, I'll think of something. I don't know.
But, and how old were you? Like, teenager?
Yeah, this is high school.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So let's be fair. Probably had things to confess.
Yeah,
like, not real sins, like, you know, but like from the Catholic Church's perspective.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep. And then it all ended when I got confirmed at 17. So, yay. I still have my Bible with my name on it. So,
did you, Julie, have any instances where, like, you were oppressing? Because, I mean, obviously, listening to Jordan's story, you can tell how the Catholics were being oppressed in that part of where he lived.
Well, you know, unfortunately, I grew up thinking that Catholics were a cult. Strangely enough, almost, because I was raised in one of the Baptist faiths, probably about the only child in my class of, I think it varied between 9 and 13, that wasn't either Catholic or Lutheran. And in a small town I was raised in, we had the same thing. Wednesday night was church night, but it wasn't for me because, you know, we didn't have to go through all that ritual and all that stuff. So I, yeah, I guess no.
Yeah,
I never really had that in, you know, it was summer camp and all of that, but you had to have money to go to Bible camp, and I didn't have money to go to Bible camp, so I got to spend my summers at the swimming pool.
Well, our grandson just went to a big, long week-long, like, Bible campy, youth groupy thing, and, mm-hmm. you know, we didn't have the money to help send him, and he couldn't afford to go, so the yeah. church kicked in and made sure he went, and it's like,
wow,
you know, he had a great yeah. time and all,
yeah,
but it's like, oh, ick. Yeah, I remember growing up, and I think I'm probably 5-10 years older than you are, Jordan. But and living in Burnsville, I'm early 40s.
I'm 28.
Yeah, so I'm like 15 years older.
Yeah.
But like growing up in like Burnsville, you know, we even in Burnsville, which isn't like a small religious town,
right?
We still every Wednesday night there was no school events.
Yep.
There was no like there was nothing.
Right.
You had church night.
Yep.
You either had Protestant church night or you had Catholic church night.
Yep.
But you had church night.
By us, it was Catholic, Lutheran, and Methodist. So, based on, you know, I had classmates that were part of all three. I can't remember the exact details, but I remember some of the Methodist kids telling me about stuff they had to do. They seemed like they had more fun than I did. Basically, for growing up Catholic was just very boring. So I have no really good memories of it. So,
well, and our fantastic sound engineer Sam, he's laughing. He's like, my school had church night on Wednesday nights too. Well, Minneapolis is kind of a small religious town. I mean, if you think about it, like, right? Yeah, he's not answering.
No,
I don't think he has his microphone turned on, which is weird.
Yeah, no, yeah, I also went to a Catholic school too, so it makes sense that they'd. But I'm not sure what's up with this Wednesday night thing, though. It seems like everyone's got Wednesday night religious day.
Yeah,
yeah, you don't want to do Sunday, so like, hey, you have one more day. It's like halfway during the week, I think. Maybe like you go on Sunday, you do all your confession, you do all your praise and worship stuff.
Yep.
But by Wednesday, you're slipping. You need another hit of Jesus. I wonder if like Seventh-day Adventists do like Tuesday night, because you know they're going from Saturday and you need that Jesus
yeah.
halfway during the week.
I dated one of those and I don't think that was the case.
Well, we could ask Dan Hansen, yeah. one of the hosts, grew up Seventh-day Adventists too. We should ask him.
All right, we'll do that.
It'll be right on the top of my list. It's got me thinking now, like, okay, if your Sabbath is on this day, assuming you have a Sabbath, like how long can you go without getting into a church before you start to lose some of your religious credibility and start to like being able to like fall into that group that could actually maybe be oppressed?
Right. Well, it might be one of those things too where, you know, if you don't go for, you know, twice a week, then it's like, hey, you haven't been here. Where have you been? And then they start coming after you.
Well, you scheduled something on my Wednesday night. You're oppressing me.
Yeah.
Well, we need to quickly bake a cake for a gay wedding, so we'll return to our discussion with Jordan and Julie right after this brief commercial break. This is Maddie Love, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Dock and Lift in Spring Park reminds us that no one anywhere is more noble, righteous, selfless, or courageous than our United States Armed Forces. These brave men and women and their families foot the bill for our freedom every day. We can show we appreciate their sacrifices by sending a military care package. Let them know that they're now and always in our thoughts and prayers. This message is from Dock and Lift in Spring Park. We live in the land of the free thanks to the brave.
I'm Richard Painter, and I'm running in the DFL primary for the U.S. Senate. I believe we're at a critical juncture in our nation's history. Our democracy is under siege by the Trump administration. Foreign influence is unchecked as politicians exploit power for private gain rather than the public good. But what is happening right now is a symptom of a larger disease. The corruptive influence of money in politics makes government unresponsive to the people. For 25 years, I have been speaking out against corruption on Wall Street and in Washington. Now I want to fight for you in the United States Senate. I will fight foreign-owned mining companies seeking to pollute our waterways. I will fight against money and politics and corruption on all levels of government. I will fight to initiate investigations and hearings for the treasonous behavior of President Trump. It's time to impeach. Please support me in the DFL primary on August 14. See all the issues at PainterMinnesota.com. I'm Richard Painter, and I approve this message.
Ad prepared and paid for by Painter Minnesota.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheist Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today will be sunny with a high near 90, and tonight will stay clear with a low around 69. Tomorrow is sunny with a high near 91, Tuesday mostly sunny with a high near 83, and Wednesday mostly sunny with a high near 81. Lowry Hill Meats is your neighborhood full-service butcher shop. They work directly with family farmers to offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry. Come try a delicious handcrafted sandwich at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis. For more, go to eatlocalminnesota.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM950 KTNF. I'm Maddie Love in studio this week with Jordan Bright and Julie Love. Before we continue with our conversation, we need to take a moment to thank our sponsors. All of us at Atheist Talk are asking for your help in keeping secular voices on the public airwaves and in podcast form. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise on this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. This radio program is put together by dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of people like you. It is because of listeners like you that we are able to keep Atheist Talk on the radio and in podcast form. This week, we'd like to thank monthly sustaining donors, Cindy and August, and finally, a thank you to all of you who donate each and every episode over on Patreon. If you are able to help with a donation, you can do so over at our Radio Fund page or by becoming a patron. Sign up for as little as $1 an episode over at patreon.com/atheisttalk and listen to all of our extended interviews, discussions with a healthy dose of tomfoolery where the FCC holds no sway. Minnesota Atheists is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. When we say we couldn't do this show without you, we really do mean it. And we are truly grateful for all of your contributions. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael David. All right. Mischief managed. Jordan, Julie, thank you. Sorry, I was looking in on the studio and I was like, oh, hey, we got a caller. But apparently they just wanted to talk to Sam and they didn't really want to talk to us. But that's okay. We will survive, Sam.
I was looking for some outside conversation on this one, but...
Yeah, because I honestly wanted, it was just somebody for the station. Oh, that's too bad.
Okay.
I honestly wanted to talk to, we have Julie in studio, but she's not like the fundy Christian. And I would love to hear from like a fundamentalist Christian who wanted to defend this or from.
9:30, they might be at church yet.
That's true. Well, they could be driving to church. Like there's 11 o'clock service.
There's also 8 a.m. So.
Yeah, so maybe they're getting out of church.
Somebody call in with your church schedules.
Yeah, we'd like to know what your church schedules are.
We're not going to show up there. We're just curious.
I would even love to hear from, because I'm sure there are atheists somewhere Because, like, we're a pretty diverse bunch.
Yes.
There are atheists who are very conservative and atheists mm-hmm. who are very libertarian and some of the progressive. Like, we run the political gamut, too. I would love to hear somebody, like, defend this who isn't honestly, just defend it. Because, like, I don't understand at all how this is defensible in line with the not even just not only do I think that it's in out of line with the Constitution
right.
and the Bill of Rights, but I just feel like it's out of line with basic common sense.
Right.
Like,
yep. Yeah.
We
just need to make sure that people can publicly practice their faith. So like, no, we already got that, Mr. Keebler Elf, but thanks for trying.
Well, you were talking about like earlier school, like, you know, having, they're talking about like prayer in school and stuff, and people trying to get prayer in school. And
right.
I remember one of the jokes was, as
send your kid to a Catholic school then.
Exactly. Or a Protestant school or a Muslim yeah. school or a Sikh school or whatever religious school you want your kids yes. to grow up in.
Oh, it costs too much money? Well, you gotta do something there.
Yeah, that is not my problem.
Yeah.
Like,
if they want your kid, they'll pay for them.
Yes. It's
called scholarships.
Oh, there we go.
That's a great idea. Just do it for the love of Jesus.
Yeah.
The power exactly. of Christ compels you.
Well, if you believe enough, won't God give you that money?
I guess. That depends. Like, is that a secret?
Might be.
Wait, he'll give you money?
I actually... Oh, I don't think you can fake belief.
Hmm. No, he'll know.
One of the jokes I always heard when I was in school was, as long as there are tests, there will be prayer in school. Because I think that's legit. Because, like, you know, you pray for
yeah,
taking the
yeah,
test.
I
like, I think about it, and I keep running up this idea of Christians being oppressed, and this idea that if I can't discriminate against you for whatever reason, then you are oppressing me, and you are taking away my liberty because I should have the right to say, you know what, you're the wrong color on the rainbow flag.
You're right.
Or your skin is the wrong color and you're wearing a turban. And so I'm going to like assume that you're a Muslim even though you're actually Sikh.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, like, if we were to put this stuff into place, would we actually start to see like Christianity like discriminating against themselves? Like where the line even gets drawn?
Right. It's like you say you're a Christian, but you don't have the exact same Christian values that we do. Maybe they'll start fighting within themselves.
Yeah, because I've seen...
That'd be fun to see.
And you've seen this too, Julie, where it's like somebody will say, well, I'm a Mormon. And I remember when we were going to church, that would be like, okay, well, they're a Mormon, but that's not a Christian. And now, you know, from my standpoint as an atheist and as a Satanist, it's like, yeah, you are. You're both Christian. You know how I know? Because you both labeled yourself a Christian. Like, I don't think there's the no true Scotsman fallacy. Like, if you say you're a Christian, it's a broad term, generally applied.
Yeah, it is. The literal meaning from the word is ignored.
Well, true, but like,
I mean, to be a Christian, you need to be a follower of Christ, and I don't think Joseph Smith was Christ, but I think they think that
Sam's not in his head in agreement.
Yeah. He was, you know, whatever, divine or something, but if you believe you are, then you are. That's just the power of positive thinking.
I guess. So yeah, my thought is if you say you are, you are.
Was he the one with the seer stones?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see the South Park episode?
Yes.
I'm not a huge South Park fan, but I love that episode.
That's the only reason I know that.
Yes, that I'm worried about copyright infringement, but Joseph Smith was a prophet. Dum 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 dum. I had that song stuck in my head for like months.
It was the whole thing where it's like only where, you know, he had the stones and then they got lost and then he got new ones, but it was different this time.
Right.
So you know, only I can read them. So you just have to take my word for it.
Yeah. He was literally pulling it out of his hat. Well, I totally forgot where. Oh, during the break, we were also talking about, you know, the religious oppression of, you know, we're joking about, you know, whether or not Christians are really oppressed. And obviously they're not.
Right.
But then we were talking about like Satanist oppression. And like, honestly, I really do believe, and I joked about this in the first segment, but I really do see, you know, And I think the Satanic Temple, the things that are positive about them. Okay, I honestly think there's a lot of things positive about them. I could read you the tenets, but I'm not going to.
Right. No, I've been to one of their public meetings just because I was curious about it. Yeah. So I went there. I was like, this isn't so bad.
Yeah, and one of the positive things that we do is putting ourselves out there as political activism against true religious oppression and true separation of church and government, mm-hmm. is to say, no, you need to include us as well.
Right.
We are a religion. We are just as equal as you.
Yep.
Yes, our religion is man-made, human-made, people-made, but then again, so is yours.
All religions are man-made.
Yeah.
Well, I joke that, and I am not obviously speaking in a capacity as any kind of representative of the Temple of Satan. Like, right. I do not speak for them.
And if they want to put up a monument, they can. Like you mentioned before, mm-hmm. somewhere a little southwest of the cities,
yeah.
maybe.
A plain monument.
Like somewhere in the Jordan area? Something in that neighborhood? Am I getting close? I think so.
It rings a bell.
Okay.
I just think, you need to include us as well. Like we are.
Right. Yeah. If you want to have religious freedom for everybody, then you have to include everybody.
Yeah. And I don't think that Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions.
Is that really his middle name?
Yes, it is. Isn't that great?
You said that the first time. I was like, what?
Yes. Named after a U.S. Confederate, or not U.S., can't be U.S. Confederate. After a Confederate general in the Civil War. Didn't he start the shelling of Sumter Island?
Julie, because Julie is the Civil War. He didn't fire the first shot, but he was the commanding general in charge.
I got my Civil War history right. Julie has taught me well. Yes. Yeah, so it's not a surprise to me that somebody with a middle name Beauregard would be pushing forward, which is probably unfair because there's probably a lot of people with kind of racist middle names that are actually good people.
So. Right, you're right. It was just a bad draw for that man. It was just a bad draw for him.
It reminds me, though, of when people made fun of Obama with his middle name. Oh, so it feels fair to kind of send it back, right?
I guess. Like, now, you know what? Thank you for that shaming. I kind of deserve that. Because, like, Barack Hussein Obama, like, you know, his middle name was Hussein. He wasn't a Muslim. He was born in Hawaii, not Kenya. Like, get over it, people. I have no idea where Sessions was born. Like, I know he's from the South. I know it was Alabama, but I don't know.
I want to say it was Alabama, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
And of course, you know, hashtag not Alabama. Alabamians?
Alabamians,
yeah. Not Albanians. That would be.
That's a whole different culture.
Although, if you live in Albania, you also should have the right for religious freedom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But actually, if you're a Christian in Albania, because I know nothing about Albania.
Yeah, I have no idea what.
I don't even know. Is that still a country?
I think so.
But like maybe if you're a Christian in Albania, maybe you would be suffering from oppression. Because there are places in the world where if you're a Christian, you truly can be oppressed. And I remember going to church. One of the things that they would always talk about was how, you know, the Christians in China are being oppressed. And I'll be honest, I don't know if they are because all of my information came from when I was in the church. And I view that all as suspect information. But like, sure, like and then U.S. churches, you know, want to equate with that, like, oh, because Christians in China are being persecuted, because Christians in this other country with a Muslim majority or some other majority are persecuting the Christians there, we identify with them, so therefore we are being persecuted. And it's like, that's a stretch.
If you're a Christian in the Middle East, yes, you will be oppressed and you actually might be killed.
Right.
So. Mm-hmm.
Just like if you're an atheist in the Middle East, because we've seen a lot of atheist bloggers get, you know, flogged publicly, killed publicly, beheaded publicly.
Yeah, say public beheadings. They like to film that.
That, my Christian fundamentalist friends, that is religious oppression.
Yes.
Being asked to bake a cake for a wedding is not religious oppression. Being told that your child will have to go to the bathroom in a public bathroom in a different stall next to somebody who's transgender, that is not religious oppression.
That's called bigotry.
Yes, that's called you're living in a pluralistic society with multicultural roots. Like,
are we going back to the? Never mind. Honestly, are we going back to the 50s now? Maybe the whole segregation thing.
Yeah, so. I do think that a lot of this stems from the idea that hey, we're in power. We don't want to be out of power, and we're scared of what will happen if we are subjugated to what we have been giving everybody else for the last 200 years.
Right.
which is really, although I don't think in reading history, I don't think America was as historically religious as it has been since like the 90s.
Right. Yeah. There's just been, you got more powerful people and they have bigger platforms they can use, and people kind of get suckered into it.
Yeah. We have more people going to church per capita now than we did mm-hmm. when the country was founded. Granted, if I'm wrong, please feel free to let me know on the Facebook page, because we are just about out of time. So if you call in now, we won't actually get to your call now.
Nope. You had your chance.
Which is, what's fundamental to the conversation. So thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. I'm proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. This show depends on the generous support of our members, our sponsors, and donors. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link at mnatheist.org. This has been Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Mike Rothman, and I'm running for Minnesota's Attorney General in the August 14th DFL primary. I grew up in Chaska, Minnesota, surrounded by cornfields, and I know firsthand that our rural communities are the backbone of our state. As Commissioner of Commerce, I protected our state farm to farm, town to town, during major floods, tornadoes, propane shortages, and moments of crisis. As Attorney General, I will help farmers and rural communities stay healthy and strong. I will continue to promote the use of clean biofuel made from Minnesota-grown corn, keep propane fuel affordable for homes and farms, and ensure that Minnesota farmers get a fair shake in the marketplace. I will protect Minnesota's incredible natural resources and beautiful lakes. I will hold drug companies accountable for the damage they've done to our communities and families. As Attorney General, I will take immediate action against opioid companies for destroying so many lives. I will also address the high cost of prescription drugs and fight for access to affordable health care. Vote for Mike Rothman for Attorney General in the August 14th DFL primary.
Paid for by Mike Rothman for Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your Atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words, click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hello and welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists. Thank you, as always, for joining us. This week, the Trump administration and Congress did two really big things that have a huge impact on church-state separation in public policy. The first of these was earlier this week. The Justice Department made some changes to the policy manuals for U.S. attorney's offices, as well as the Department of Justice's litigation offices. They didn't announce these changes. They just sort of did it and published it on their website, but didn't make any big deal out of it. And what these changes to the rules require is that each office, so each U.S. attorney's office, has to have a staff member that's in charge of coordinating and monitoring all litigation that the office Atheists is a party to involving religious freedom issues. They are required to inform political appointees at DOJ whenever the office is subject to a lawsuit involving religious liberty. So whenever like the U.S. government is a party to that, to litigation that would touch on that, whenever religious liberty is used as a defense in litigation, or when the offices file a suit involving religious issues. So those three things, they have to coordinate that and then inform. But the bigger story here is that the rules require that the U.S. Attorney's Office get prior approval from the Associate Attorney General, who is a political appointee, before proceeding with any civil suit that might involve religious liberty issues. So this isn't just like monitoring it and making sure that, you know, they're not accidentally infringing on religious views. This is requiring a political appointee to clear, to pre-clear any lawsuit that could potentially touch on religious liberty issues. And they're not fully fleshed out as to what that would mean, but presumably it would tie into things like the Department of Health and Human Services with their new office, their new division within the Civil Rights, the Office for Civil Rights, on freedom of conscience and religious freedom. This new division that was set up to handle something like fewer than 10 cases involving religious liberty that were reported to HHS in the past administration. They set up this entire new office that, according to recent estimates that just came out this past week, would cost the U.S. healthcare system something like $300 million to comply with. This is what our tax dollars are being spent on. Creating these sham offices that are used to prop up religious issues and used to privilege religion above all else. But let's be honest here, it's about privileging specific religion above all else. Getting prior approval to file a lawsuit against a person who is a member of a religious minority that has, you know, unconventional religious views on issues like, you know, drug use or something like that. I have a hard time believing that their religious views are going to be given as much deference as the religious views of a nurse or a desk clerk at a healthcare provider who refuses to in any way participate in providing an abortion. And this isn't just the person performing this abortion. The new HHS rules say that anyone involved in the procedure cannot be fired by their employer, their private employer, for refusing to do their job. And so does that mean someone, the clerk sitting at the desk who checks you in? Does that mean the person who cleans the office? Does it mean people who handle the billing? Like, how far does this go? And so I have a hard time believing that political appointees from the Trump administration are going to be vigorously protecting the rights of religious minorities as much as they're protecting people who don't think women should be able to have abortions and hate gay people. And so, you know, this is, let's just call this, it is what it is, and let's be honest about the impact here. This is something we're going to be keeping an eye on and seeing what's happening, but it's certainly something that LGBT movement and the women's health community is keeping an eye on, and we will as well. The second thing is about the budget bill, the budget deal that passed to much fanfare, bipartisan budget deal that passed on Thursday, I believe it was. This includes a provision that allows FEMA to directly fund the construction of churches as well as their outfitting. So refurbishing or renovating churches damaged in natural disasters. The other side has painted this as an issue of churches being discriminated against, but it's simply not accurate. What they're doing in this law and what they did in a rules change from FEMA was change the definition of what FEMA calls essential services of a governmental nature to the general public. So these are things like museums, community centers, homeless shelters, facilities that provide health and safety services, things like that, and calling churches and saying that churches fit into those categories. The problem here is that houses of worship are not open to the general public.
They're only for religious activities, and they don't provide critical services to the general public. And so they reclassified churches as meeting this definition, even though they clearly don't, so they could access these relief grants. Now, this law, this budget act, codifies that and puts it in place, and now it's not just an interpretation of a rule, but it is the law. This is bananas. This is allowing houses of worship to not just build their facilities and, you know, oh, we have a church who provides provided housing for people during the hurricane. You can be reimbursed for damages that happened there. You can be reimbursed for expenditures in providing care. That was already allowed. What they're doing here is saying that the federal government must give directly to churches money for them to build an altar, if it's a cathedral, you know, to build the throne for the bishop, to build minarets, to buy Bibles. That's what this money can be going for. And churches have no financial disclosure. We don't know what the money is being spent on. We don't know what how the church's finances were before. And so we're forced into this uncomfortable position where either the church gets this money and we have no way of knowing how they spend it, or the federal government has to tell churches what is and what is not an appropriate use of money. And neither one of those things is especially constitutional or advisable. Like, we don't want the government doing those things. And so this is these are churches sort of selling their soul and you know, getting money that comes with a lot of strings. And I think religious leaders should be very hesitant about getting the government involved in their finances, because right now they enjoy a very high level of deference that nonprofit organizations don't. And I should point out, churches were already eligible for reimbursement for providing aid. They were already eligible to apply for loans. They were already eligible for insurance. What this is giving them special treatment. If something happened to American Atheists, we were struck by a hurricane, we don't get free money to rebuild. We have insurance. But now a church gets that money. That's all the time I have for this week. Thank you so much for listening. For more information about our work, please visit www.atheists.org. Just a reminder, our national convention is coming up March 29th to April 1st in Oklahoma City. Hope to see you there, and that's atheists.org/convention2018. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.